Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you this morning. Some have been asking recently when we plan on returning to Mexico. The answer is April the 7th. We plan to start our trip back to Mexico and visiting friends that we haven't seen along the way. Lord willing, the thought is right now, not knowing exactly what we're going to find in Mexico, because some people are giving gloomy stories, and we know it's not all that terrible. And some people have absolutely no problems in the work of God at all, and we know it's not that good. And so the truth is somewhere in between, and we're not exactly sure what we're going to find. I'm going to have to find someone like Paul had Timothy. And Timothy, Paul said of him, we have nobody that cares for your souls just like I did, except for him. So I'm going to have to search better this time. Sort of an odd thing, I guess. I don't think anybody expected that we would be in the situation we are today. But we're thinking about coming back in the summertime to help out at Morning Star Bible Camp and the discipleship program, and then go back in the fall again to Mexico. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Judges chapter 10. Judges chapter 10. We studied a little bit here maybe a month or so ago. But we're going to move down the page a little bit to verse 6 to begin with. We'll make comments as we go down. It says in verse 6 of Judges chapter 10, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year, they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over the Jordan River to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also we have served Balaam. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Moabites, and did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have still forsaken me, and you have still served other gods. Wherefore, I'm not going to deliver you this time. Go and cry out to the gods that you trust in, the gods that you have chosen, and let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatever seems good unto you. Deliver us only, we pray, to you this day. And then they put away their strange gods from among them, and they began to serve the Lord, and God's soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and the princes of Gilead said to one another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him other sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out, or they threw out, and rejected Jephthah, and said to him, "You shall not inherit in our father's house, for you are the son of a strange woman." And Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and they went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, "Come and be our captain, that we may fight the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "Therefore we turn again to you now, and you may go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them before me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us, if we do not do so according to your words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his word this morning. As we were reading in verse 6, did you notice what was going on? They were serving and worshiping all sorts of idols. It says they served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods, plural, of Syria, and the gods, plural, of Sidon, and the gods, plural, of Moab, and the gods, plural, of the children of Ammon, and the gods, plural, of the Philistines. They were serving everybody but the true and the living God. Any god, any religion, except for the God of the Bible. Does that sound familiar today? Any god, any religion, except for Bible. It's a strange thing that's going on in our society, isn't it? You can go to public school and you can learn about the Muslim faith and Islam. You can go to public school and you learn all about the animalistic, spiritualistic faiths of the native First Nations people of British Columbia. You can learn about all sorts of the religions of the world, but you can't talk about the God of the Bible. It's not a new thing. It's going on here in the book of Judges. Any god, any religion, except for Christianity, except for the God of the Bible. A cocktail of gods and false religions is what was going on in the society of that day. And that's what's going on today in our society. And so God was a little bit upset. And you and I can see why he would be upset. Anybody except for me? Why would you do that? Anybody except for me? And so the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines on the west side of them and to the Ammonites on the east side. So now they had enemies on both sides of them. This particular story, in Jephthah, he deals with the Ammonites to the east. when we get to Samson, he's going to deal with the Philistines, the enemy on the west. And so he's going to focus in on the Ammonites. And the children of Israel were living this way, and they were living this way, and they were living this way. Oppressed. Putting up with it. Until they couldn't put up with it any longer, you see. And in verse 9, it says, and Israel was sore distressed. And they cried out to the Lord because they were distressed. Is this world distressed today? I wrote down, I think Harold said, Larry's going to talk about God in the world of crisis and chaos. Does that seem like the world that you and I live in? How much is fuel this morning? I don't know. I walked because fuel was too high last time I saw. My truck holds over $250 worth of fuel. That's a big paycheck. How secure is your future? How quickly things can open up, how quickly things shut down. I'm not exactly sure what the rules were, but I was watching the highlights from the basketball game in Toronto last night. There's nobody in the stadium again. And I thought that they opened it up a week or so ago, and I like disappeared for a week. And when I'm up at camp, I don't see any news at all. But somewhere between when I left on Monday and when I came back last night or Friday night, they closed everything down again. Pardon?
It was a fire.
There was a fire in Toronto?
In the speakers.
Oh, okay. But there's no people in the stands anyways. And then I watched the Canucks highlights. They won in Minnesota last night, and there was nobody in the stands in Minnesota. How quickly things change. At one moment we can gather together, and one moment we can't. Isn't that what the definition of chaos is? That there's no continuity, that there's no consistency, that things change very quickly? Do we live in a world of chaos and crises? What's going on in the Ukraine? What's going on in Afghanistan? Our women, children, girls are no longer allowed to go to school in Afghanistan. It's been banned, the news said this morning, that women, girls are no longer allowed to be educated. They have to be barefoot and pregnant and serve men. That's their only role in society. Third-class citizens alongside of chickens and animals. That's what the Taliban thinks of how important women are. They're not made in the image of God. Last week, they could still go to school. This week, they can't. We live in a world of crisis, a world of chaos. And they were here. They were sore distressed, and they called out to God. And God says, haven't I done enough already? He's the God that makes the rain fall on both the just and the unjust. He makes the sun to shine on the good people and the evil people. Haven't I done enough? You've cried to me before, and I've delivered you before, out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of the hands of the Philistines, out of the hands of the Moabites, out of the hands of the Amorites. I've done it all before, and you still are so hard-headed. You're still so stuck in your ways. You're still so selfish and self-centered that you do what's right in your eyes and you refuse to do what's right in my eyes. Does that still sound like something was going on today? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes is the very last words of the book of Judges. You see, what they were doing seemed right in their eyes, but it wasn't right in God's eyes. And they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And God's anger was hot against them, we're reading in verse 7. And as he got hot against them, he sold them into their hands, and they started getting oppressed, and they cried out to God. And he said, let your gods get you out of trouble. Let's see if they can do it. Go ahead. Who are your gods? Who are you trusting in? COVID checks from the government? Is that what's going to get you through the pandemic of 2020 and 2021 and the spring of 2022? Are COVID checks, is that how it could work out? Do you think NATO is going to work it all out for you? Is it self-medication, the opioid crisis in British Columbia, not only in British Columbia, but all across Canada and the United States, is that going to help you? Legalizing marijuana to help calm your nerves when you're nervous, is that going to help you that you get stoned and high? Is alcohol going to help you by going to the bars, and the bars and the pubs are now open again, and you can drown your sorrows in a beer or a whiskey? Is that going to help you? Go ahead, try it. Exercise, is that going to help you? Education, is that going to help you? Go to your counselors, get your medications for your antidepression. See if that's going to help you. Go to all those gods that you're trusting in. Let them see if that's going to help. That's kind of a shocking answer from God. Wait a minute, isn't this the God of love and mercy? And love just gives you everything you want. That's a lie from the devil. Love never, ever gives you all that you want. Love gives you what you need. You see, our hearts are desperately wicked and evil. And the wants and the desires of our hearts aren't the wants and desires necessarily of God. We need the wisdom of God. We were thinking a little bit this morning about it. We need to obey God, and that gives us the peace of God. And God answers in a way that he stands up with his own dignity. And he says, let them try it and see if that's going to work out. You see, some people just say things on the outside, you see. It comes from the mouth. It might even come from the brain out the mouth. Lots of times it just bypasses the brain altogether. But it doesn't go through the brain and the heart, you see. And God is the God who looks upon our hearts and sees the motives and the intentions that are in our hearts. And so God doesn't give us everything we want, but God gives us what we need. David, when he was the great shepherd of Israel, said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now that word want in English should be, I don't need anything. It's not that he doesn't have any desires. David had some awfully strange desires. That's not what he meant in Psalm 23. God gives me what I need. And there he was, telling the people, and the people had their eyes opened and their ears saying, I can't believe what I'm hearing. God's not going to help me. And sometimes God does that. And he leaves us to our own resources. He did that to the prodigal son, didn't he? Here you go, prodigal son. Here's your inheritance. He probably wasn't that happy. The father was probably extremely sad. And as he handed him his inheritance and he walked, his son walked down the road, he probably had tears rolling out of his eyes. But he was thinking in his heart of hearts that by God's grace, this boy's coming back. And by God's grace, I'm going to pray for this boy every day. And he lets him go into a world that's against this boy. And there it says, this boy wasted everything. And he had the friends there to help him waste everything, because that's what the devil does. He gets you to waste your life, and he puts people around you that will help you waste your life. And that father was praying like his son's life depended on it. Because his son's life depended on it. Beloved, you and I have children sometimes, we have parents sometimes, we have brothers and sisters who we need to pray more earnestly for. The Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ is a great high priest that ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. And Harold mentioned it this morning from Romans chapter 8, that God's great goal is to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us, beloved, we need to live to make intercession for our loved ones, for those dear ones. Just like the prodigal son walked away and the father watched and walked down the road. What did the father see? He saw his son's back turned away from him, getting smaller and smaller as he went down the road, getting harder to see and harder to recognize. And there, somewhere in time and space, when he reached the end of himself, he remembered his father. And as he remembered his father, he went back. You know, even the servants of my father live better than me. My father treats his servants better than I'm being treated by my friends and by the world here. I'm going to go back. And I'm going to ask to be a servant. Because I'm not worthy to be his son anymore. I disgraced him and I disgraced his name. He'd be so embarrassed if he saw where I am today. What I did with the inheritance and the godly inheritance that I was given. I can't be called his son. Maybe I can work for him. And the father saw him. A little shadow in the distance at first. A little bit bigger. But he didn't see his shoulders this time, did he? He's walking toward him. With his face toward him. With his chest and shoulders toward him. And when he was close enough to recognize, the father ran. It doesn't say the son ran, but it does say the father ran. You see, God sometimes says to you and to me, go ahead and try to solve it on your own. Trust in the gods who you've been trusting and see if they can deliver you. You need to reach the end of yourself. And when you reach the end of yourself and all those false gods and all those false religions, you know what you're going to find out? There's only me. There's no one like me. I am the Lord your God, your Redeemer. You can search the whole universe through, far and wide. And you'll find there is none like me. And they cried to the Lord again. They said, do with us what you want to. Just deliver us. We can't stand it anymore. And I think there was a little bit of a gap. And the Lord just crossed his arms and watched. And verse 16 says, and they put away the idols. You see, they never put away the idols yet. God's just watching them. If you really want me, if you really only need me, why do you got all these idols around your house still? Get rid of them. Well, he didn't say that, but he's waiting for them to do it. You're trusting in them and in me, because you're covering your bases to make sure everything is okay in your mind. But you see, it's not about covering bases, it's about trusting in the true and the living God. And when they put away their idols and they began to serve the true and the living God, it says God's heart was grieved for them in their misery, in their distress, in their chaos, in their calamity, in their crises. He wasn't grieved for them in the sense that, oh, too bad, so sad. He was grieved that they had to go through them. And as they went through it, he saw their true repentance. God, in his great, wonderful way that he does things, the great God who is rich in mercy, he didn't, I'm going to say it this way, keep his word. It's not that God lies, but when he sees true repentance, you know, a contrite and a humble heart, God cannot resist. He sees people who've repented and turned, and that they're only trusting in him. And although he's promised condemnation, when he sees the humble heart, he sees that repentant heart. He sees the heart that only trusts him, and he changes the condemnation. They're only trusting in me now. And so God, it says in chapter 11, there was this man named Jephthah, funny man named Jephthah, J-E-P-H-T-H-A-H. I don't know any other name with so many H's in it. And Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, says verse 1 of chapter 11. And being a mighty man of valor, you'd think he was awesome, but he wasn't. He was born on the wrong side of the river. The east side, where the dummies that didn't cross over the river stayed. And not only that, his mom was a prostitute. Strike two. And not only that, his half-brothers, because his dad decided he should just stay with his wife, I guess, and not go to prove prostitutes anymore, had children with his wife, and all the children of his wife decided they didn't want this half-brother around anymore, and they ran him out of town, and he went to a land called Tob. Three strikes against him. You ever wonder what kind of person God uses? Some people have what you may call an inferiority complex. I'm not good enough to serve the Lord. Take a look at Jephthah. His mom was a prostitute. He was born on the wrong side of the Jordan River. That's not the good side of the Jordan River. That's not the good side of town. That's not the good neighborhood. That's not the good hospital. They don't go to the good school. And then completely abandoned by all his support system. Mother, father, brothers, all against him. And you know what? God still used him. He may have had an inferiority problem. Usually in Canada, it's the opposite. I'm too good to serve the Lord. Why would I want to be a servant? Clean houses, clean the chapel, tidy it up. That's for other people to do. Learn how to read the Bible and study the Bible and pray diligently. That's for other people. That's not for me. I'm too good to have to pray. I'm too good to have to study my Bible. That's just a waste of time. Other people do that. That's what they do. I don't have to do any of that. I'm too good for that. I've earned it. I've done it long enough. We have a superiority complex. You know, God uses one kind of person with one kind of ability only. And that's your availability. You say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Your servant is listening as Samuel spoke to God in 1 Samuel chapter 3. That's the person God uses. John was saying it this morning. He was right there. He says, you have peace with God when you obey God. And you hear his calling and you do whatever he asks you to do. That's how you do it. That's how you have that peace in your life. That's what Isaiah 48 says. But there he was. He's probably like a gang leader there in Tob. As he was there, he says he had this little bit of guys that says went with him. They didn't just go hang out together. They're sort of a band of ruffians and a gang, I think. And the people knew about him. You see, when they got a little more worried when they saw that Ammonites on the other side of the river sort of gathering an army against them, and they're going, who's going to help us? The unfortunate thing is they were talking amongst themselves, who's going to help us? Who can do it? You see, the book of Judges started out and they inquired of God who should go up first. Here they don't even inquire of God. They talk amongst themselves, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get out of this? Beloved, be like verse 1 of chapter 1 and inquire of God. Don't inquire among yourselves. You know what our problem is? We inquire among ourselves too much. We're the ones with the problem. Don't look inside yourself for the answer. You're the one with the question. You have to look outside yourself to find an answer. You have to look outside the physical universe. We find that God is wisdom for us. The all-wise counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. That's who he is. And Jephthah was rejected. And now they're calling on him because they found out that he was the one who could do the work. He's probably the only one that can do the work. There was another man who was rejected. He came unto his own, says John chapter 1, and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men, says Isaiah 53. The people in unison cried out, we will not have this man to rule over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. And as he walks the Via Dolorosa up Calvary's mountain, they spat on him. They punched him. They called him all sorts of names. When he was lifted up on the cross, he heard their mocking and their jokes. If you're the Son of God, come on down. You saved others, let's see you save yourself. And he heard them as they mocked him. They made fun of him and he was rejected. He came to his own, that the Israelites rejected him as king and the Romans nailed him to the cross. And he died there on Calvary's cross. But you see, he died for our sins. He paid the price for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's with his stripes that you and I are healed, you see. And we look to see who can save us in a world of chaos and calamity and crisis. Who can save us from sin and all that it causes in the world? Who can bring us peace? And we look Do you think the mayor can do that? Do you think the premier can do that? Do you think the prime minister can do that? Do you think the health system can do that? Do you think arts and entertainment can do that? It can't. It's impossible. Only God can do it. It says, by therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Faith in who? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid the price for our sin. You see, he was despised and rejected just like Jephthah was. And then when they finally needed help and they reached the end of their own, they looked to find the only person that could help. Now, Jephthah was just a human deliverer. Our Savior is the true deliverer from sin and from death, from its consequences, to bring us into heaven. And you know, they put their trust in Jephthah, and Jephthah won the victory. It's a very strange story. If you want to hear the strangest story in the Bible, read the rest of chapter 11 and 12. But our Savior, and I suppose it is a strange story too, a strange story of how much God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you find out that Jesus is the only one that can save you, that Jesus is the only one that can deliver you, that Jesus is a much mightier man of valor than Jephthah ever was. You see, there were reports about Jesus. Who was his real father? There were reports about Jephthah's birth that followed Jesus all his life. All the little boys and girls were saying, "No, no, no, you're a sinner. Your mom's a sinner. Your dad was going to put her away for divorce." By the time he was 30, they were still going around that same rumor. "We're not children of fornication like you are." He was despised and rejected. They spoke all manner of evil against him, every excuse not to trust in him. And all he did was look on them with a grieved heart. "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers the little chicks under her wings, but you didn't want to come. You rejected me." And beloved, our Lord Jesus looks upon this world, his hands spread, and you ask him, "How much do you love me?" And he says, "This much." You can't get any bigger than that. "And I would love to gather you in my arms, but you would not come." But even as we were reading this morning in the Lord's Supper, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest for your souls." You don't have to fight it any longer. You want to get rid of the chaos and the crisis and the calamity. You want to have peace in all that situation. Just come to me and work. Beloved, we offer you this morning the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop trusting all the other idols, all the other gods, all the other religions. Trust in the one true God. Be like the Thessalonians who turn from their idols to serve the living God, says 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Follow him with all your heart. He gives the victory. The Lord bless you this morning. Our Father in heaven, we think about Jephthah and we think about his situation and all that he went through. For people that really didn't like him most of the time. And I guess it's true of us that before we made a commitment to Christ, we didn't have much room for you. We're like the people at the inn when he was born. There was no room for him. And unfortunately, Father, sometimes we're still like that. We ask that you would forgive us. We ask that you would help us to see that Jesus is the only Savior, that Jesus is the only deliverer. There's nobody that helps us like the Lord Jesus. There is none else. There is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we might be saved. He is the way and the truth and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father but through him. And in this world of chaos and calamity and crises, we pray, Lord, that we would have your peace in all the strangeness of what is going on. So help us, we pray. We commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.